Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast in June. We're still in June. We are of course on Acast, on iTunes and all across the world wide web. Right here in Norwich, Norfolk, England, UK, half of Europe, the world-ish. We are of course here to preview the Austrian Grand Prix, round 8 of the 2016 season. This is our 121st podcast, everyone. Episode 121. Obviously, back in the day, we were the EDP F1 podcast. Now we're NRF1, and 121 episodes. That's a lot of podcast time, DT.
That's quite an effort.
Yeah, I'm feeling it now. I've got to be honest. My bags under my eyes, as people will have seen from the Facebook video we just did, facebook.com/NRF1podcast.
And big props to everyone who keeps tuning in and listening to us. It's much appreciated.
We have more people listening than ever before, everyone.
What was the first podcast recorded, or first race?
It was a preview for the Barcelona, so Spanish Grand Prix in 2012. And I think it was just me and Ped.
The Maldonado win.
Oh my God, it was, wasn't it? We literally started Pasta's career. More on Pasta to come.
You won't know him afterwards.
How dare you? poor Pasta. Yeah, that was the high point. I think it was the preview. I mean, if it had been the review, then I'd be really worried for him.
Yeah, it wouldn't be, yeah. All started from there.
Nuts. So as you've heard, DT is here, Carl Cumbers is here, my name is Michael Bailey. DT, before we come to Rich, we'll come to you in a moment. You've just been at Goodwood, haven't you? And you got to drive up the hill and everything.
Yes, so I was very fortunate to be taken on to Goodwood by Ford, and I got a little run up the hill in their new Fiesta ST200, so their sort of limited edition fast Fiesta. So, you know, the place, the, you know, the hill at Goodwood that many Formula One drivers have driven up, and it wasn't quite as scintillating experience, I'm sure, some of the Formula One drivers had in their cars, but it was still great fun to drive up there, and sort of quite slightly emotional as well to sort of kind of come through the hay bales at the end and through the finish line, and you know, going past all the grandstands with everybody watching and stuff. It was great fun. So I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I got to see Jenson Button's championship winning Brazil F1 car. That was by far and away one of my favourite modern Formula One cars, and great to see it, you know, up close within sort of like a metre's distance. So yeah, great.
Yeah, the Braun GP car. What did you make? What was there something you looked at it and thought, oh, that's a surprise?
Well, I mean, I was just wandering around the F1 paddock. I had a really rushed day because I had to leave by about 3:30, and there is so much at Goodwood to see. And if you haven't already been to Goodwood before, there's like an F1 paddock. So all of the teams will bring along a car or two. Sometimes they bring along a historic car. Like Ferrari had two of their sort of probably last sort of 5-6 years cars. Williams had one of their more recent cars. I think Force India had last year's car, etc., etc. Renault had a Lotus that had been repainted in the new yellow colours. So they all bring along stuff to run up the hill, and they'll do demonstration runs up the hill. And then just walking around the corner, all of a sudden I saw the white and black and luminous yellow sort of colours, and a big crowd of people went, and they were working, sort of had all the engine covers off, and they're working on the car. I was literally standing sort of almost as close as I am to you, Michael, from like the car. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see Martin Brundle drive up the hill because that was, I think, the day after, or it might have been Saturday, I can't remember. But yeah, still great to see it, you know, that close.
Oh, what fun, what a treat. And I guess you were doing that as part of Average Joe's as well?
Yeah, so I was there for the launch of the Ford Fiesta ST200, so the day before I was doing the press launch, and then we did a sort of day at Goodwood, right up the hill, and then I just had a bit of a wander around and Yeah, it was good fun until it started to rain, and then it got very, very muddy.
Yep, that's the way it works at English festivals. Awesome. Well, that's the joys of being a motoring correspondent, I suppose. We have to tell Average Joes, they'll, you know, give us a little good mention.
I'm driving our editor down to Luton Airport on Friday, so I'll have a chat with them en route. So it's going to be a nice journey, because I'm doing it in the new Ford Focus RS, so that'll be pretty good fun.
Excellent. And if Ford want to send us a car or some sort of payment for the plugs, then they can do it. I think that's how it should work, isn't definitely. It?
Well, as you well know, I drive a Ford right now, so I'm quite pleased about it. It's a Fiesta as well, and I might be getting a Ford, as you know.
Ford.
I can't remember.
A Mustang, because he obviously wants me to say it. What colour?
Deep Impact Blue.
Deep Impact Blue. What, as in the film?
That's what it's called.
Deep Impact Blue.
Yeah.
That's Richard Baxter, everyone. He's here as well. I suppose we should get on with the chatter. Obviously, Austrian Grand Prix to come, which we'll get stuck into.
I like Ford. It's Ford badge, blue oval, blue car.
Well, are we going to get something out of this? I think we should now. It's like the Ford podcast.
I'll definitely throw it their way. You know, I'm doing another thing with Ford later on this month. I'm going to Germany for a week, and they're giving me a car to take out there. So, you know, definitely got a good relationship. So, you know, you never know.
Fingers crossed. Spread the word. Brilliant stuff. Well, that's enough flogging ourselves for about 2 minutes. Formula One news. Let's get stuck into this first, shall we? Because a bit around today. And the last couple of days, Bernie Eccleston, clearly the negotiations over what happens in terms of, it's not a Concorde agreement anymore, I don't think, but the next one, which is after 2020, he wants a fairer bonus structure. He clearly says he wants to shake up what's going to happen in terms of teams being funded, which I guess if you're Ferrari or Williams, you're like, no thanks, and everyone else is, yes please.
Well, makes perfect sense, but with Bernie, you never know what's behind these leaking of stories. Also makes it slightly more complicated, because I think Renault have a contract to sort of mid-2020s, so I don't know how that's going to affect it. So it's just the wait and see. So it's still a few years off, and these deals are normally signed at the last minute, so there's probably still a lot of negotiations to take place.
It needs to happen, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of talk about a lot of the teams would be worse off, but isn't it more the case of that they're spending too much at the moment?
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, there was obviously talks at the start of the season of bringing in a cheaper engine and having that available to all teams if they need to. And of course, if you look back to 2010, I think it was that season, they tried to, you know, you had three new teams come in with the promise of having lower kind of money restrictions on everything. That never worked out. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Obviously, it's one thing Bernie saying it, but then when you've got the Ferrari mafia behind it all, you can never say
in a loving way. You know, not in terms of Goodfellas.
if you're talking about Goodfellas is in pizza, then that's all right. But
what are the other Goodfellas? Are there? I am not very good on Italian mafia.
There's a pretty good movie called Goodfellas.
Thank you. Yes.
It's just got, is it Joe Pesci and De Niro? Is De Niro in it or Al Pacino?
As long as I didn't imagine, at the moment I could have imagined anything, so I didn't know if that was something I'd imagined or I'm just envisaging pizza.
I just know they make pizza, so
good old Rich.
It's a good film.
I need to rewatch it actually.
Got to explore all revenue in streams, haven't they? So.
Oh my god, yeah. Can we get some sponsorship from Goodfellas? Send us some pizza. Yeah, that'll do it.
With regards to this thing, am I right in saying that they're going to lose, or Ferrari, Red Bull, McLaren, Williams, I guess, will lose their historic sort of bonus?
I must come into it, because it's talking about a kind of a Premier League system where it's a lot more equitable, I guess, a lot more on performance, and they all in the Premier League, they all get a standard amount of money for the season. It's a complete equal share, and that's a massive difference for teams like Ferrari. And I said every team is like who gets those historical payments.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm all up for that. I think if the smaller teams end up getting more money, and then the bigger teams have less to play with, so therefore they have to be either more creative or, you know, they can't go quite so hardcore with the development, then that's got to be better for the sport.
It's never going to happen, though, is it? Okay.
No, I can't see, you know, the big teams have too much power, they have too much say, You know, and Ferrari have been known to throw their toys out of the pram in the past. So,
oh, goodness me, how rude! As if. Well, we'll see. There's clearly, as people have said, it's the first shot. In terms of 4 years of negotiations, I feel we might touch on it again in future. Mercedes. Now, apparently, Niki Lauda has said Nico Rosberg is staying on for 2 more years. He has, or is going to, sign a deal. Nico Rosberg's very relaxed about it. Lewis Hamilton is talking about how remarkably well him and Nico are getting on. Everything's great. Nico's staying on. Are we happy about that, Rich? Is that the way to go?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's been a good servant to the team. He's been there for a long time. He won their first race back as the team, the new Mercedes team, as they are now, following Braun. So I'm pleased he's there. To be honest, I think he does deserve a title shot after being close the last couple of seasons, ish.
No, I'm joking.
I'm not. I'll launch in a minute.
He does deserve a title shot because at the end of the day, he's the one who's managed to score the most points. But I still think he's still second best to Lewis.
I think that's the thing. You don't begrudge him having the shot at the title. It's just, you know, Lewis should always be winning. But even me thinking he should, we'll never win a title, and Monaco kind of proved it. You don't know if the rest of the season is just going to fall his way and it'll be his year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of luck that he's had, and if that continues, then it could be his year. But, also, Mercedes have a couple of young drivers, obviously Verlaine and Esteban Ocon, coming through with them. They're probably a bit too young to take that seat now, so maybe a 2-year contract and see how they progress, and also if Lewis and Nico are as friendly as they say they are and having chats by the swimming pool in Monaco, then obviously relations are fine and why not carry on.
Yeah. It's funny how the relationship is friendly now because Nico's on top and Lewis is behind, but yet when it was the other way around there would always seem to be friction between the two. So I wonder what that says about Nico and what it says about Lewis. You know, the fact that Lewis is quite happy to play catch up and relishes the challenge and doesn't see it as an issue with his teammate. Just, you know, it's just a job that needs to be done. Whereas the other way around, Nico gets a little bit sulky. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading a bit too much into things.
What I would say then is that will be quite interesting later on in the season if Lewis still finds himself 20 points behind. We'll see how that one develops. The driver's market, I guess, it maybe factors into this a little bit. It doesn't look like there's going to be much movement. Sergio Perez is clearly being touted for Ferrari. We'd have to see, and we'll come to Sergio Perez later in the podcast. Daniel, I've got to break this now. Ricciardo. I had a sudden think about how I'm pronouncing it and my staunch defence of calling him Ricciardo. And I actually checked the Italian pronunciation of his name because, you know, people like Christian Horner have been calling him Ricciardo, and I checked it, and yes, it should be Daniel Ricciardo.
He calls himself Ricciardo.
Which is wrong.
So surely it's his name, so therefore he's right.
But he only says it like that because people in Italy kept saying it wrong. In Australia, where he grew up, couldn't say it right. And he got sick of telling them. So he changed the pronunciation of his own name because of it. But so it's like a nickname because actually it should be. And as I now know, Ricciardo. So I have been quite staunch in and principled in the fact that I want to call him by how his name should be pronounced. Now the problem is how I was pronouncing it was also wrong. So I'm now going to have to call him Daniel Ricciardo. And you have to say it like that as well.
If you put a bit of Italian twang on the end, that's fine.
Yeah, thanks. Like, I will do. Italy's finest. Anyway, the point is Daniel Ricciardo and Max Verstappen are signed until 2018 at Red Bull. So there was obviously a bit of speculation. That's all settled down. I think it settled down before the race in Baku. That's how that's going to be. And Daniel seemed to sort of settle down a bit after that.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have been kind of on his team so much about previous or recent results. Because, I mean, he could have done better in Baku, to be honest, but he didn't really come out and suddenly slam the team again. But I think someone could have had a word and said, well, if you don't want to be in this team, you're welcome to go find somewhere else, because we've got another young driver who's just as good as Verstappen, who's sitting in Toro Rosso waiting patiently right now. And you know, if they really wanted to, they could bring Kvyat back in. So
if they really wanted to,
yeah, they've got replacements. If Ricciardo doesn't want to be there, so. I think that's, you know, it's a good move for him, and he might as well stay in a in a competitive car capable of winning a championship.
There's some really interesting things I heard while all the Ricciardo stuff was going on about how the contracts work and the lock-ins and the things that actually trigger people being able to stay in their current deal. It was fascinating. And just as that was becoming a discussion point, Red Bull said, no, he's definitely staying. So clearly those lock-ins aren't around it in his deal. But there we go. Williams, the one thing we didn't really discuss at the European Grand Prix was their remarkable pit stop of 1.89 seconds, record-breaking pit stop in Baku. And they've basically been the quickest pit stop team almost every round this year. It's phenomenal, because we've given them a bit of stick for their strategies and things, but they know how to do a pit stop.
I mean, yeah, last year they were poor, but this year I think it's every race they've been the quickest, and under 2 seconds is, that's just not human, is it? I don't know how you can change a wheel and in that time. But and also they're very consistent at it. I mean, with in the past teams have had a quick pit stop and that, but they constantly doing it, and it can well, I would say win a race, but Williams normally mess up. I don't wait for that, but but it can, you know, it can gain a position or whatever. Is that important these days?
So a couple of bits to tie up. We're going to be doing a Norfolk Formula One Hall of Fame. It's going to be on the website. It's going to be on the show. We're going to bring forward various people, inductees, over the weeks as to who will be inducted into our Norfolk Formula One Hall of Fame.
I take it we're all going to be in that.
Well, if we get inducted, we'll have to take a vote on that. We'll see. And we're also going to have a comedy panel at some point getting involved with us, including a couple of people that we've spoken to, Mark Claren, Kate Durham, Lou Tass, and hopefully a few more involved as well. So those people, it'd be great to hear from them. And also, we are all going to be on the Patreon list, which is also going to be on our website. We'll all be patrons of the NRF1 podcast. It's our way of everyone getting involved and helping us out spread the word, because the podcast is great. We think we do a really enjoyable job. We hope you guys listen and enjoy it. We know you do, and we want more people to catch wind of what we do. And advertising will help do that. And if we can get a little bit of money in to help advertise it here, there, on social media and everywhere, then more so the better. And it will snowball into a Formula One changing machine, which we've already done. Just look at the tyre strategy. I don't care if anyone else came up with it first. We believe we came up with it through the medium of Kyle Cumbers, his genius brain, and a tweet to Paul Henbury. I'm sure that's pretty much true. So anyway, if you want to see all that, Patreon, patreon.com/NRF1. You can check out all the details there. Do it now, because it does it in dollars, and that's basically like 25p at the moment, so it's well worth doing. And also, I'm sure a lot of you subscribe via iTunes. Please rate and review us on there. It would do us a great favor. Someone's apparently slagged the presenter off on there. You know, ridiculous. Who would do that? But, you know, so if you want to do likewise, I don't mind at all, as long as you give us 5 stars while you do it, because these guys are absolutely spot on. Right. In that case, let me remind you, it's the NRF1 podcast. Enjoy the ride. Let's dig into a bit of tweets and social. Who got in touch first? These have obviously been collated over the last week or five, I think, because we didn't manage to do it last time out. Adam Noon got in touch. Hello, Noonie. He put forward a great question, although I'm not quite sure how to interpret it. So I'll put it to you all. If you could swap any two drivers around, who would they be and why? So you effectively trade two drivers between their respective teams. Now, I think that means a driver pairing into a different team, as opposed to picking one driver and switching them so that you end up with two different pairings. Does that make sense? Yeah. But I guess we could do it either way. I've put in brackets here, it's the Red Bull plan, because it's effectively what they did with Daniel Kvyat and Max Verstappen. But, a pairing or a driver you'd want to switch between?
No, definitely. Yeah. I would take Alonso and Button and put them in the Mercedes.
But then no one would win anything ever again.
But it'd be quite fun to watch them duke it out.
Do you think they'd have a mass ruckus?
No, not at all. I think they're good buddies. I think they're both the elder statesmen of Formula One, and I think they know that they're past all of that stuff, you know, and they'll just get on with the job at hand and enjoy it. And I don't even think, you know, I think they'll be competitive, but, you know, they've already achieved so much that whatever they achieve going forward, I think would be, they'd thoroughly enjoy and would just do it for the sake of doing it. So I don't think there'd be any issue there at all. And I think it'd be interesting to see how they go up against each other.
Could you imagine Nico and Lewis in a McLaren? That'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
It'd be interesting to see how well Lewis does with, whether or not he can actually get some quite interesting performances out of it.
Like that. How about you, gents?
I was thinking the two Force India drivers, Perez and Hülkenberg, move them into a Ferrari. But then I've suddenly realised in recent races, Force India have actually been beating Ferrari. So I don't have any idea now. I've confused myself. But that's what it would have been if Ferrari were quick.
A swap. Ericsson and Nasser for the Mercedes drivers.
Oh.
Just because they've had a boring 18 months at Sauber, so give them a bit of fun. Why not?
I think that would be fascinating, though, wouldn't it? Yeah. To see how the top-running drivers would do in a team like that, because would they just finish in the same place? Is it all about the car? But also how Marcus and Nasser would do, effectively thrust into a title challenge. Who would run it? Who would run the other one off? Who would be the last man standing?
So who Ericsson crashed into Nasser. So I reckon Nasser.
Yeah.
Latin temperament. Smash into Ericsson, to win it.
Revenge.
Yeah.
Ayrton Senna style. Job done.
Who would you change?
I mean as I said, I probably would have gone right to the back and taken the Manor pair, and just because I think the idea of seeing Lewis in a Manor and Pascal Wehrlein in a Mercedes, if he ended up just running away and doing exactly what Lewis did against the other teams.
I've got a bit of a curveball for you. How about taking Lewis and Nico out of the Mercedes and putting them behind the microphone and putting Coulthard and Brundle in the Mercedes?
Who would win out of DC and Brundle?
So DC's been, there's been less time since he's been competitive in a Formula 1 car, but Brundle does get to drive quite a lot of different Formula 1 cars as well.
The Brawn at Goodwood I saw, actually, yeah, didn't he? Yeah. So.
Drove the Brawn at Goodwood. He's driven Ferraris at Maranello. He's driven the Red Bulls. And he's driven quite a few modern Formula 1 cars. So it'll be interesting. I think they'd struggle with their first couple of races, but I think they'd get back up to speed fairly quickly.
Struggle with their first couple of races. That is, of course, Norfolk's Martin Brundle.
Yes.
Possible contender for our NRF1 Hall of Fame, you'd imagine. Yes. All right. Well, I hope that answers the question, Adam. If let's just revisit the other theory, possibly. If it was one driver, you'd switch with someone else. That's probably a trickier one.
I'd probably have to go Alonso in a Mercedes just to see the Alonso-Hamilton battle. That's again. So a completely, car at the front and just them two fighting for a championship would be good telly, should we say.
I guess Carlos Sainz and Max. That'd be interesting. Mm.
I was thinking Verstappen for Rosberg as well. That could be interesting to see. That could be. It'd be amazing to see him in the top tier car, because I think, I think he's the best there is out there at the moment in terms of raw talent. I just think he needs a few more years to mature.
Ricciardo, Ricciardo and Vettel. Stick Daniel in a Ferrari.
You could do. I would quite like the idea of Bottas moving Mercedes, either one. He's a quick guy. Could he do enough to win the championship?
You'd almost want to switch him with Lewis, wouldn't you? Because it would be more interesting to see what Lewis would do in a Force India. See if he would get more out of it. Williams, as opposed to Nico, who you imagine wouldn't do a lot. Is that harsh? I don't know if you're the right person to ask this, Deaton.
Yeah, probably not. Remember, Nico was at Williams and he did have some reasonable performances, so he was a standout driver in his early career, so let's not forget that he does have some serious talent. It's just when you put him against someone like Hamilton, who just has that extra, it's that extra 1%. It's only 1% difference, but it makes all the difference.
Beautiful. Let's rattle through a few of these. Carl Lewin got in touch saying he was thinking of becoming the first Swedish representative in the Prediction League in Austria. So I think it means the Austrian Grand Prix, or whether there's a Prediction League other than ours, which is obviously the best one, in Austria. But Carl, do it. Just go predict. I saw there's a F1 Fanatic has a prediction league, which is you can predict the pole sitter, the pole time, and then the top 5-6 finishes in the race. It's good. But what we want to know is who's going to go out on the first lap? Who's going to ram into this? Safety cars. Anyway, more on the prediction league in a bit. Obviously, the NRF1 is tops. Shout out to Mikael Eriksson. Mikael, I'm sorry if that's not how you pronounce your first name, and I do take great pride in it. He is our official Swedish reviewer, because a Swedish pod is following our format. I think we mentioned that, and Michael, got in touch and informed us, and he's a big listener for the last few years. So thank you, Mikael, for your continued ears. We appreciate that. And Steve as well, who got in touch. He's been spreading the word on Reddit and flagged us up to the Reddit people, and that all seemed to be going very nicely as well. So thank you for that, Steve. Keep spreading the word, guys. You're doing a terrific job, and hopefully we will get the podcast downloadable as well as a raw MP3, because some people have been asking for that. So that will hopefully be available on the website, which is www.nrf1.uk, and we'll tell you when that's around, when it finally gets sorted, along with the karting video, DT, which you star in as Kimi Raikkonen-ish.
Yes.
oh my goodness me, it's wonderful. It's pretty ready to go. Yeah, it's pretty wonderful. I'm trying to figure out when to post it and to get it active. Maybe the summer break might be a good time, but it's pretty much there. So now I think I'm going to head into this. As I mentioned before, the Dats Life podcast boys, they're big Formula One fans. And they came up to us and said, we want to get involved. So hopefully we're going to have some blogs from them, from Dave and Tom. But this is, they're going to be in touch with us with their little audio insights into F1 issues, be it from a race or looking ahead to a race. And they're going to be good fun, I think. They decided we want to talk about Sergio Perez. So I'm going to hand it over to the Dats Life podcast boys.
Hi there, NRF1. It's Dave and Tom here from Dats Life. Pleasure to be here on our very first segment with you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. It's a lovely summer's evening here. We are going to be discussing Sergio Perez. So to start off with, guys, we're going to give you some very quick fire facts on Sergio Perez and his current career. So he's driven for 3 Formula One teams. Can you name them, Tom?
Force India.
Yep, his current team.
McLaren.
McLaren, yeah, that one year he did.
And the third one is Sauber.
Oh, yes, well done. It was in GP2 before Formula One. Now, who did he finish runner-up to?
Oh, Lewis Hamilton.
No, this is a legend in the sport now.
Think Grosjean.
No, more than that.
A legend in the sport?
Absolute legend. He's not in the moment, but he might be next year.
Oh, not Maldonado.
Correct.
Oh, man. How did he finish second to Maldonado? How has anyone ever finished second to Maldonado?
Well, he didn't obviously came out the barriers long enough.
See, we're meant to be saying all these great things about it's his time to come back to a big team. And then you go and give us a statistic where he finished second to Pastor, or should I say Crashtor, Maldonado.
Exactly. Well, if you finish second to Maldonado, you know you're onto a winner. But but it brings on to a good point about, yes, is Perez ready for the big time?
I think yes, but my fear is that if you are a big team, that you'll look back to when he had his first chance at a big team. They might see that he flopped and then be like, well, perhaps he hasn't got what it takes to be a big team. Perhaps he's an ideal midfield team player.
My feeling on Sergio Perez is the guy's a little bit like a Giancarlo Fisichella, specifically around the 2003-2004 seasons, because he drove for Sauber and Jordan back then, and in that time he won a race and he was really highly regarded. 2005, signs for Renault and wins the first race, but then there's nowhere for the rest of the season. I reckon Perez is a little bit like that. He does really well in the midfield cars when the pressure is not on him, but come to the big teams, he just can't handle it. Obviously, this man has changed a lot. He's been through a lot. I mean, his best chance of winning a race was the 2012 Malaysian Grand Prix, where he was closing down on Fernando Alonso, only to lose the back end. Is that was the pressure getting to him? Of course, he was quite young back then.
Maybe, yeah. He's been third twice now in the first, is it 8 races? Yeah.
We thought Hülkenberg was going to take it to him. And fair play to Perez. He's doing exactly what he needs to do. And that's put his more highly rated teammate in some regards in the shade.
Yeah. If you think about it, if a driver, so say if they're like a midfield team and they get their chance at a bigger team, if they don't make that work and they kind of come back down again, it's rare that you see them turn it around and have that chance at a big team again.
Breaking news, though, hot off the Twitter hot plate. We have Force India demand transfer fee if Ferrari were to re-sign their ex-academy driver, Checo.
Ooh.
So Force India, they want the money. Cough up, Ferrari. Is Checo the right man to fill that position?
If he keeps going the way he is now, then yes.
He's a prospect.
I think so. But then there's always going to be in the back of my mind that when he had his first kind of big chance, he didn't take it. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
And I mean, where else could he go?
Williams.
Yeah, but they're not. Is that a sideways move or slightly upwards move?
I don't think Red Bull will touch him.
Oh, no, no. I think they're kind of set now for a while.
Yeah. Mercedes, is Rosberg going to move on? If he continues up the way he is, I don't think he will. Would Hamilton move on?
I don't know, but I think they've got Wehrlein
in the wings.
I would expect he would be next
I
up.
Think Wehrlein is looking to Force India move next year.
Oh, really?
Heard it here first,
guys.
Cheers for listening, guys. We've been Dave and Tom, and back to you.
Brilliant stuff from Dave and Tom. Thank you, gents. And of course, you can follow them. It's at Dats Life Podcast, Dats being DATS. Give them a follow, give them a listen, and enjoy their stuff. Right. Austria time, gents. Austrian Grand Prix, Spielberg. So I love my most exciting moment of the season, really. I saw that they're expecting the qualifying record to go. Rich, this is your domain. Had you already clocked this?
I thought about this. I thought, I should have a look. Then I thought, it's probably not going to be as fast as it used to be, and there'll probably be all sorts of different things because the track layout's changed slightly. And so I didn't bother looking, and now I feel like a tool.
Excellent. Well, no, to be honest, you kind of came up with this, I think. Again, changing F1 for the better. NRF1. You came up with this, you know, noticing the fact that at Canada, was it, that the qualifying or lap record would be under threat? I mean, obviously then they kind of started discovering other lap records, which was a bit mean, but clearly these cars are fast. There was a lot of criticism that they were slow, say this time last year, certainly the start of the 2015 season. It's not true, is it?
No, I mean, I've never been to a live F1 race, which is, you know, something I still want to do, but I bet if you asked anyone who's watching there, for example, if they were in Baku watching, but if you said, so how fast do you reckon Formula 1 cars are? I think they'd be like really, 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 really quick. Because when you see, you know, 230 miles an hour down a straight on a street circuit, and Austria is a, you know, really fast track as it is, you know, it's not a street circuit, but I don't think they get up to 200 miles an hour quite, but they're still ridiculously fast through the corners, and it's impressive, and it's unbelievable when you see that how quick they're going. And you think the reaction times as well for those drivers is unbelievable.
And times are going to tumble next year as well. So with the new regulations, cars are going to get faster. So they're already fast now, and they're going to be getting even faster next year. So yeah, looking forward to that.
It's a good track, this. I quite like it. It seems to produce incidents. I don't know if the racing's been really good in the Grand Prix, but it's sort of always been quite eventful Grand Prix. And it's Nico's domain. He's won the two races here so far.
Yes. Also happens, seems to happen in all happening qualifying. I think Mercedes drivers have had issues in qualifying, spinning out.
Was it last year when they both went out basically at the same time on the last lap, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because the first year Hamilton spun, didn't he?
It's the photo. We'll have to post the photo up again of Nico on the Austrian flag laden runoff. There it is, indeed. Absolutely.
So it's worth watching all weekend just because. Well, it'll happen Saturday as well. So, I can't really remember the previous two races.
I do remember Williams. I can't remember if they qualified ahead of the Mercedes or if it was the first at the very start. They jumped ahead of both of them or something like that. And they did that in Austria, and they did it, I think, at Silverstone as well. And they're obviously quite like the circuit.
It's rapidly approaching to the British Grand Prix. We're in a really intense period of the season at the moment. most important weekend for in Austria? I mean, we sort of touched on Nico. I just wonder, going to his domain off the back of a win that restored his championship lead, he's could be in a very healthy position at the end of this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's important for both the Mercedes boys. They've, you know, Hamilton's got to try and claw back some of that gap again, because he did fantastically well to get it down to 9 points, and now it's stretched out again. Nico has the opportunity to really sort of, you know, stick it to Lewis, so to speak. You know, and Lewis is actually starting to talk about it being Rosberg's championship now. He's, you know, we're not halfway through, are we yet?
Not even
halfway through. So it's interesting that he started talking about that. I don't know whether that's, you know, misdirection, but I think it's a big weekend for both those guys. I don't think anyone else really looking down the grid. You know, I can't see it, the status quo changing much at the moment, other than that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it feels like it's about the front end at the moment, doesn't it, Carl?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Mercedes, I suppose, mentioned to Red Bull, as it is their home track, the big bull in the middle of the track as well. So I suppose they'll want a strong weekend in front of their boss, who I assume will be there. So
I'd agree with Red Bull. I'd also probably say Force India. It's going to be big for them, see if they can continue the form they've had in the last couple of races. And especially for Perez, because he's been on the podium twice running. So,
cool, yeah. A third podium on the trot, that would send out some sort of signal, wouldn't it? Right then, well, predictions time. The key point, the predictions league. It's been a while since I've updated it. First news, Timmer, I've done all your predictions. I got them all from Monaco, Spain and Russia. We've missed them out. I'm so sorry. They're all now included. I mean, the irony is, as soon as he did that, I haven't heard from him since. And he's not leading anymore either. Poor Timmer. But lots of other ones from Canada and from the European Grand Prix. I think Mr. Rust and Mr. Cumbers both doing very, very well in those two rounds. Me, not so much. Rich, not
just
so much.
Just give us
No. The best thing I think we came up with was the Joker double points, which I still think is a real winning idea that should come into fruition. Basically, we're a team. Listen to it. It was in the Canadian Preview podcast, I think, where you the teams get to nominate a race where they have double points, and they get to pick their race. Maybe every team other than the top three teams in the previous season's Constructors' Championship. And they get double points for that race. It could really shake everything up. But Rich, we'll take a picture. Or maybe you can send me a screen grab of that. Rich, it's your predictions. It's got 5 big red crosses, and then in capital letters written across it, wrong. Your reaction to that, Rich?
You know, that's what you get for going big.
Going big, yeah.
Go home or go
hard or go home, whatever they say. It would be interesting. At this point, I'd say, Rich, you are leading the kudos points with 8.
At least I'm winning something.
At least you're winning something. There are 3 people who haven't made any or haven't earned any kudos points yet. One of them, Harris, has only predicted 1 set of predictions. The other two are Kyle and Steve, who are both at the top.
No.
You're obviously not trying to entertain enough, Kyle.
Apologies.
I mean, I've only got 1, and I'm 3rd, as it happens. So I'm delighted with my 3rd place position. Kieran Cousins, word to him, he's gone from 11th to 6th in the standings, which is an excellent effort. Ped is now up to 7th. DT, you are bottom. Big week for you. This is the most important weekend for DT.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
I made a prediction for... Well, I can't remember the last time I made a prediction. It was quite a few. It was about 3 or 4 races ago.
There's a very technical algorithm involved where, you know, it rewards regular involvement. So, you know what? Austrian Grand Prix predictions. Would you like to go first, DT?
So, basically, all I need to do is predict really, really well and then just not predict for the rest of the season, then I could do okay. So.
No, you need to do it regularly. You have to do it regularly. That's the point, you see. Regular. Okay. But you need to start doing it.
Yeah. So, I haven't prepared.
That's fine.
But so
neither do I, and I'm 3rd.
Fair enough. So I'm going to predict that Hamilton will be outside of the top 3.
Oh, that's a big C. That's a kudos point. Boom, right there.
Outside the big the top 3, I am going to say that Perez will be beaten by Hülkenberg come checkered flag on Sunday. I am going to say that there will be single points and top 12 for both McLarens, but only one set of points. And Williams to get double top 8 finish.
Job done. Yeah, that's fine. It's a half a wink at the end. And yeah. I noticed Kyle gave a sort of a darn it when you mentioned your Perez prediction. Kyle?
Yeah, I was going to go for Hülkenberg to beat Perez. I'll stick to that one. I was going to go for all four Red Bull cars to be in the top 10 in the race. Mm-hmm. Even Kvyat. Poor boy. I'm going to go for Williams on the podium. I think Kimi might do well this weekend. So Kimi to beat Vettel.
Are you basing that on anything other than a hunch?
Just a hunch. And these Saubers, as I mentioned them earlier, I think both of them will be out in Q1. And perfect prediction, I'll go for something got random this week. Harry Anto to pit on lap 18.
Boom! So you don't get that on the F1 Fanatic Prediction League. The perfect prediction. There must be a kudos point in that lot. I'll make sure you have a kudos point this week. I'm sure there was in that lot. But you see, you go really easy. I noticed that last week or something, I had for Verlaine to be penultimate classified finisher or better. And I still didn't get it right because he didn't finish. It's not easy, even if it sounds easy. Go on, Rich.
Well, I decided I didn't do any good last week because I didn't go big enough. So,
jeez.
I'm going to say Williams to win the race.
I mean, what is that? All right, well, that's a kudos point, clearly.
But they did right there a couple of years back. They went into the lead, you never know. Bit of luck.
Don't know about He's now shaking his head.
Yeah, a bit of luck and a miracle, maybe.
You never know. I'm going to say at least one Force India to qualify top 5. I'm going to say Red Bull to qualify top 3. I'm going to say there will be a safety car or virtual safety car period. And I'm going to say both Manners to finish ahead, to finish the race ahead of both Saubers.
Oof. That's a good shout. That's a bold shout as well. Oof. But that leaves me, doesn't it? So let's say I think Nico will win the race. I think he'll be on pole. I think that I don't think you'll see any points for McLaren this weekend. I think Perez will be outside the top 8. It's just going to come to a crashing end, his little run. And I think we'll have 5 DNFs or more. So that's quite a lot, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, it feels like quite a lot. And let's pick a random driver. Who shall I make a random prediction about for a driver? Anyone we don't regularly mention? Kevin Magnussen in his Renault, so therefore I will say he's going to finish 14th. There you go. Bang on the money. Bring it home, Kevin. Bring it home.
So I've got some predictions I could add in. I'm going to predict that Vettel will drive a red car and Palmer will drive a yellow car. There we go.
Special liveries on this weekend.
I mean, just
that
my
would
luck.
Be hilarious. You get a kudos point for that, do you think? People try it.
I need all the points I can get, you know.
Steve Rust's very good at this. He picks it just to the right level where you can't go, but he's very good. He's wily old fox, that Steve Rust. Wily old fox. Good try. Good try, DT. We're done, aren't we? We're done.
Well, I do have one thing to add, which I thought of a minute ago. Whilst I was at Goodwood, I did get to see the halo ring thing, whatever it is they're calling it, for the sort of the crash protection.
I saw the picture of this, yeah.
Yeah, so they had it on the FIA stand in Goodwood, and I had a bit of a look around it, and I have to say, it looks bloody awful. It looks ridiculous. It looks absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's something we're going to discuss again. Maybe it will come up in a blog at some point, Rich. Or any of us, we'll see. Whoever puts stuff together,
pictures of it. So if you want some images for the blog, then
excellent. Yes, well there we go. We'll do that. Absolutely. Right, I think we're done then, aren't we? NRF1.UK is the website. The Twitter feed is at the NRF1. Facebook.com/NRF1podcast. And please email us if you wish, NRF1podcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. We've had some really nice messages recently, and we really appreciate that. As we appreciate you all listening to what we're doing. It's been a great year so far. Long may it continue. And I'm sure it will in Austria. And we'll be back to review that after Austria. It's the British Grand Prix, is it not? Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah, back to back.
Silver, is it back to back as well? Yeah. Oh, Christ alive. I need a break.
Four races in the next 5 weeks.
I said it was intense without really grasping the magnitude of how intense. So we'll be rattling through as much as we can over the next, over the coming weeks. It's a lot of points that could be won or lost in a very short space of time. I think we're in a defining period of the season. We will see how it goes. Good luck, Nico. Good luck, Lewis. Thanks all for listening. Thanks, gents, so much for your time. Thanks to the Dats Life podcast guys as well. And we will see you after Austria. Enjoy the action. Don Spielberg. Bye for now.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.